I have a World War II propaganda poster in my dining room with the caption, "Food is a weapon." It's a bilious green that makes me kind of queasy. At a time when food is often seen as the kinder, gentler way to gloss over difficult gatherings, it's good to remember that food and the conversations around it have the power to change narratives. Ghetto Gastro is a Bronx-born culinary collective that wants to look at the food world from a point of view that celebrates Black food and Black culture, and that inspires a larger conversation about race, history, food inequality, but joy, too. There's so much joy mixed in. John Gray and Pierre Soreau are two of the three collaborators who created the book Black Power Kitchen. Welcome to Good Food, both of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for having us. So happy to be here. Got to shout out Osai Endolin, our co-writer, who helped us put the words to paper and make it pop.
We're such fans. So let's just start with the title, Ghetto Gastro. Ghetto is a word that for a lot of people has a lot of negative connotations. Obviously, you chose it extremely intentionally. So kind of break down what it means for the both of you.
Well, when we started with the name Ghetto Gastro, we understood it was polarizing. But for us, it was really to celebrate where we're from and the significant cultural contributions that come from communities that have been blighted, underestimated, and what have you. And just really wanting to turn on its head how people think about the word ghetto, and not to kind of cater to the white gaze or the external communities, but really to have an internal conversation with people from environments that have been underestimated, so we know that we are valuable and our creations have value as well.
And your expressions aren't just culinary. They're multimedia and multidisciplinary. How did you find one another and decide to create together?
Well, we were all on, you know, our separate journeys in life. And John and Lester had been, John and Lester had grown up in the same neighborhood in the Bronx in Co-op City, in Section 5, to be specific. And, you know, the two of them had just had conversations about creating a business around food that was more inclusive for people like us. You know, we were tired of going into different spaces and hearing our music playing on the speakers and, you know, our pieces of our culture used for the vibration. But like when we look around, you see people who are in managerial positions and positions of power. There were no people of color or any Black people in those positions. So, you know, Ghetto Gastro was an idea that was formed, I think it was in a nap that John came up with the name. And, you know, John, Les, and myself have just been on this mission ever since to, you know, create a space where there's more of us.
And the book really reflects this multimedia kind of exuberance in this journey that you are. You feature conversations with artists, writers, and creators, as well as chefs. How does food come into play?
Well, for us, food is a great medium to disperse information and to tell stories. We look at food as the first social network. When you think about ideas being shared, bread being broken, and food is also a tool, it's a soft power tool. We just wanted to make it a little harder and more in your face, you know? So for us, it's about nourishment for the mind, body, and the soul.
Tell us about WOLF, Wolf, and what a ghetto gastro dish is, how it's built.
Well, when we talk about the WOLF, Wolf moniker, you know, that stands for We Only Layer Flavor. And when we talk about layering flavor, we layer flavors in different ways on our side. So it's either it's with the actual flavors that you're consuming and with the stories that go into the food. So talking about how important storytelling is in the creation of a ghetto gastro dish, our quintessential signature dish is the Triple C's, which is cornbread, crab, and caviar. And in that dish, we are having a conversation around the collaboration between indigenous Americans and enslaved Africans who were who shared that corn crop and the knowledge around that, which created the bread, the cornbread, which is like America's bread. And then we also go into talking about how the crab salad is representing Black people in our communities have always been known, had this conversation around being crabs in a barrel. But we on our side understand that crabs don't belong in a barrel. They don't thrive in barrels. They thrive in the sea and in the open. So, and on top, we're putting this caviar, which is Black at the top and also Black at the foundation with the cornbread. But the conversation around the caviar is that it's this European luxury, it's European luxurious ingredient, but it actually originates in, you know, the Middle East in the Caspian Sea. So when we think about just the layering of flavors from storytelling, the food, these are all different elements that go into creating dishes at GG.
And the book is so good at expressing these layers. I can only imagine what being in an actual live event of yours must be. I want listeners to kind of get a flavor of how much is jammed into your work. And I think the cornbread is a great example. It's one of the first recipes in the book. And it's followed by this wonderful painting by Henry Taylor, and then a poem by Aja Monet. Could you describe the painting? And if one of you has easy access to the poem, maybe read just a tiny bit of it.
Yeah, the painting that you're speaking of, the Henry Taylor, that is accompanied by the Triple C's. I was actually with Henry at his home in Los Angeles, and I saw the painting in his kitchen. And I was like, yo, this painting is crazy. And I noticed the cornbread, the syrup. I'm like, we need this. We need this for the book. And he's like, look, this painting is my mother. My mother's name, his mother passed away. Her name is Cora. So in the when you see the painting, it says cornbread on two lines, but you see he highlighted Cora within the two words of corn and bread. So it's really an ode to his mother. And I was like, that makes it even more special. And then we had our brother Chase Hall, who's a disciple, and Henry Taylor's one of his mentors. We commissioned him to do the painting of the gentleman holding a crab because he did a series that was focused on like Black fishermen in New England. And I remember seeing someone with the lobster. And I know Pierre reached out to Aja to lace us with some words. I'll pull up the poem and just read a few bars from the poem. Each of us are here because someone fed us. Watering mouths, outstretched, smacking on sugared dreams and drizzled joys, sacred as yams and okra seeds, Rasta fruits and gullah vegetables, love, deep hunger, a sermon in a skillet, Black as the cosmos, sizzling, cooked by beautiful bare hands, fresh squeezed. Liberation is homemade from scratch. Sweet as honey in the rock. Revolutions are stewed and sauteed on stovetops. Every movement starts in sweaty kitchens. While passing plates and peppering palates, bless the dressing and the well-dressed. It starts in you, with you, and for you. A community-led recipe. The truth is best served at room temperature. Food is a vibe, a tone, a tune, a mood. The marching orders, an appetite for belonging. A dance with pots and pans. The thick smell of care lingering in a room. Never mind the measuring. A pinch of heart, a sprinkle of courage. Let us gather one by one, eyes glistening, seasoning a perfect silence. Meals that mean, make you want to shout the way closed mouths don't get fed. Those are words from the great Aja Monet.
So fantastic. So let's turn to one of the recipes. I'd love to ask you about the maroon shrooms.
Let's talk about it.
Talk about the connection and how the connection to the people called maroons and how it's cooked in the ground and why.
Well, yeah, you know, we wanted to highlight, you know, the emancipation of the Maroon people, who were a group of people who fled the enslavement in Jamaica and went into the mountains, and they created the technique of barbecuing known as jerk. And, you know, in this jerk technique, they were cooking in the mountains, and they would cook it under the ground, buried underneath like banana leaves and leaves, which created the smoking effect, which is how you get the smoked chicken. But the reason they did that was so that the smoke didn't give off their position and their whereabouts to the colonizers. So for us, we're using that dish, and we're highlighting some plants in that dish. We're using mushrooms as our vegetable of choice. We're using natural fruits to sweeten the dish as opposed to refined sugars. So in that dish, you'll see like Japanese pears and apples that are mixed with roasted kombu and scotch bonnet and allspice, that we create a marinade with those things. And then the glaze is made with, I believe it's coconut nectar and honey. So we're getting our sweetness from different places, not using any sugar. And just layering the flavors once again and telling these stories about our ancestors who paved the way for us.
Well, thank you so much, John and Pierre. It's been so much fun getting to talk to you, and the book is really something so special.
Thanks for having us. We really appreciate that.
Super happy to be here. I really appreciate you taking the time to build with us.
John Gray and Pierre Sereau, along with Lester Walker and Osai Endolin, are the co-authors behind Ghetto Gastro's fabulous new cookbook, Black Power Kitchen. It's jam-packed with history, art, culture, and, of course, recipes. For that cornbread, crab, and caviar recipe we talked about, go to our website, kcrw.com/goodfood. In a minute, from a simple salted onion and pomegranate salad to a creamy miso caramel, we explore how salt can transform ingredients. Next.